Trust that echoed our heart's desire this morning. It was another beautiful Lord's Day. It was in more than one way. I trust every Lord's Day is a beautiful day, but the having it a little bit cooler, a little bit of moisture to settle the dust, it just made it a beautiful morning, another beautiful Lord's Day. Glad for each one that's here. It's especially good to have Lynn and his wife. And I think I saw Eric here somewhere. It's good to have you all here with us and any other visitors that are here. This today, again, is another one of those special days. We have another little one here. And so after here in a little bit, we'll have Dan and Jan, little Derek Russell, come forward. And it's just a blessing to... As we think about these little ones, you know, as I think of the of Jesus' thought and his care for the little ones, you know, he said that he knows every detail about us, how many hairs we have on our head. He also said that he takes care of the birds. You know, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but yet he, our Heavenly Father, feedeth them. And he goes on to say, are ye not much better? Are ye not much more than they? Or in essence, he is saying, you were created in my image. You know, how does that affect you? You know, Christ says, you, every one of us can take that personally. I was created in his image to serve. You were created to serve me. You were bought with a price. I gave everything so that you could have life. I have prepared a place for you that is beyond your comprehension, a place where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no parting. And we can only imagine what that place is like. Maybe it's like the Garden of Eden at creation, and we can really only imagine that. Everything perfect. You know, yesterday the grass had gotten away from us, and we were trying to get it mowed down and mulched in, and it just didn't work. And finally, one of the boys just took it upon themselves to get it raked together and get it out of there. But you know, in heaven, the grass isn't going to do that. The grass isn't going to get away from us. The grass is going to be just where it needs to be, and it's going to be perfect. It won't be trampled. Well, this morning, we have the privilege of having another little dedication service for another miracle. You know, these little ones come into the world so helpless, so dependent on their parents. You know, we believe that life begins at conception, not when the first breath is taken, like many would claim. And I believe without a doubt that Jesus is still looking out for his little ones, and it's his desire that we also share that heart of love and compassion for his little ones. So this time, and after this, they've asked Grandpa, Robert Beiler, to lead in prayer, so you can be ready for that afterwards. So this time, Dan and Jan, and you can come up with old Derek. By the grace of God, to be diligent and patient beyond the call of duty, to bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord through teaching and being a living example of Christian leadership. Is it your desire to share your responsibilities with this congregation through inviting their prayers, counsel, and encouragement in Christian family growth?
Yes.
Okay, to the congregation, are you, as a member of this congregation, willing to commit yourselves to assist Dan and Jan to surround this child with grace, love, and patient teaching, both by word and deed? Would you indicate that your affirmation by standing to your feet.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have. We thank you for all the little children, but especially we thank you for little Derek Russell, born to Dan and Jan's family, dear Father. We thank you for Big Brother and the three sisters. Just bless them and lead them. And we thank you that we can observe this. And we just pray a special blessing on each of us in this service. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this
I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I don't know if I'll read any more out of there, but thinking about those verses on of admonition, on loving the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength, the admonition to teach this to our children in all aspects of life. And to think of the responsibility of parents to children and the responsibilities we have in training our children, this past week, we were invited to a meeting this past Tuesday evening in Marshfield, where there was a guest speaker that was an abortion survivor, a failed. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details here, but this lady was born in California on April 6, 1977, when I'd have been 9 years old. And I'm convinced God saved her life to educate the world, to be a voice in a day when the value of life is being desecrated. She was born at 6 a.m., her doctor wasn't in, so the nurse was able to call 911 and have her taken to a hospital where her prognosis wasn't good. And when she was finally able to go to foster care, her doctor said she would never lift her head or talk. But you know, God isn't limited. And he had to work for Gianna to do, and although she faced rejection again and again, she found her anchor in Jesus, and she says, I am not a victim. You know, she's very open about her desire to live a normal life, but her focus is on Jesus. And her adoptive father was an alcoholic. And she felt prompted to call him. And she felt the prompt for 3 months before she finally picked up the phone and called him. And she was very straightforward with him. And she led him to the Lord 48 hours before he died. And you know, it takes a lot of effort and exercise for her to be able to walk and to get around. But you know, she has a strong desire to reach out to youth, to encourage them to keep themselves pure at all cost. And you know, as I thought about that and society in general and the lack of respect for life, for fellow men, you know, if we as we read our Sunday school passage this morning, It stops at the end there. We didn't get to the end. I don't know how many of you did. I think we might need another lesson in chapter 12. But I think it's the last verse says, "For our God is a consuming fire." But I don't like to stop there. The next verse says, "Let brotherly love continue." And in that chapter 13, as we think about respect and love for God and our fellow men, if we expect adults that follow that criteria, we will have to train our little ones to respect, to honor those in authority, to value life, first of all, to obey and respect their parents. A child must be taught and trained that way, to show respect to others. They must see it in the way it's lived out by their parents. 10 words and a good example are worth more than 10,000 words in hypocrisy. If we look on down in this chapter, it talks about being aware lest thou forget. And that's a challenge to us. We can kind of become calloused to the things around us. We can kind of become calloused to the We think things will just happen. They'll just hopefully grow up and this will take care of itself. But these things don't just happen. And that's why he gives this admonition to teach them diligently. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thine hand. It's just going to be a part of us. And here he gives afterwards, he gives all the blessings that will come by following these commandments in the physical sense. And I believe today in the New Testament era, it's the blessings we receive from that will be in the spiritual sense. He talked about in our lesson today, in our Sunday school lesson, the first part, talked about the Lord chastening us. And as I thought about that this past week and going along with today's lesson, it also talks about bitterness there. And I think, and I don't have all the answers there, but I think it's what we do with what God brings into our lives. We're living in a fallen world. Things are going to happen to us. Things aren't going to be perfect. But look around us. There's people that we can find that have things a lot tougher, most likely, than what we do. And these aren't necessarily, I don't believe, we need to look at them as this is God's chase, this is a punishment, but it's simply, we're living in a fallen world. These things are going to happen to us, and it may be nothing to do with us, nothing to do with what we've done. But what matters is what we do with it, how we respond to it. Are we going to let that root of bitterness take over and it affect how we relate and how we respond to life around us? Or are we going to give these things to God and let him take them, let him use them to refine us, to use us where he wants us in life? I think that's a challenge, and it doesn't mean that if we don't need to repent of the things that we're involved in or that we've done, but it means that I think regardless where we are, if we can give it to God and say, "Here I am, use it," we've all failed, we've all come short. The next chapter, chapter 7, verse 6, says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of people." God chose every one of us. He came down, gave his life for us, for everyone, so that we can have life, so that we can have it, not just life, but so we can have it more abundantly. And I'd like to closing here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what a responsibility we have to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's kneel for prayer.